Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's hour number three. And Bart, when breaking news happens and we open up an hour with it, that makes it even more of a, what do we call hour number three?
The Power Hour, 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 Hour.
Presented by Progressive.
Yes. I was kind of hoping that you would do it more in a Stallone voice than the Schwarzenegger voice you like to do. Because it's Stallone's birthday and he means so much to the show. So what do you think? How would Stallone say Power Hour?
The Power Hour.
Oh, no, hold on. Hold on.
What the hell?
Hold on.
Pain. Greed. Maybe I can't win. The Power Hour. Mick.
I can't get it out. Yeah.
Never mind. All right. Anyways, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number.
Hey, I got laryngitis now, man.
If you're just joining us, breaking news in the NFL over the last 20 minutes. So the trade has happened. A long national nightmare is over in the NFL, at least. Baker Mayfield has been moved by the Cleveland Browns. He was sent to one team that has issues in the quarterback room, or question marks at least, Carolina Panthers. He goes for what is Jake Trotter is reporting as conditional draft pick, depending on if he plays or not, 2024 fourth or fifth round pick. That's it. And what's funny is as I'm scouring through to get all the information that you can get, is the Panthers themselves have even put it out on their Twitter, so they made it official. But Benjamin Solak puts this tweet up. So the Panthers, who remember at the draft, they traded up to get Ole Miss quarterback Matt Corral, right?
Yep.
They gave up a third round pick for him. So they actually gave up more for Matt Corral than he did for Baker Mayfield, who was taken number one overall in 2018.
Listen, they now, the bidding, money is interesting. Themselves.
Apparently. It looks like, from some reporting I'm seeing, that the Browns will be paying, I think, 10 of the 18 he's owed this year.
Oh, you can't beat that with a bat.
So that's, so if you're a Carolina,
$8 million,
probably,
so they only have $26 million in that quarterback room plus the other two.
And the Browns just figured, all right, we got to move this guy, let's move him. And for them, it's better than paying 18 because they would have to, right, if they were cutting him, they'd have to, so they're paying some but not all, and that works for them. And then they move on from this, but they don't because week one of the schedule, it's so perfect how this works out. The Browns play in Charlotte against the Panthers, and maybe Baker Mayfield will be QB1 by then and find his 2021 or 2020 performance, I should say, right? That was the year he got them to the playoffs. He was a top 10, at least statistically, quarterback, had a terrific year. Maybe he finds that in him again.
The Browns beat the brakes off of him. Jacoby Brissett looks amazing. They're like, look, you ain't even better than our backup scrub. This is exactly what we knew you couldn't do. Hey, guess what, guys? He can't throw to the left side of the field because his arm is weak when he's on the right hash. Ha ha. That's the only defense you're going to get, Baker. Oh, maybe Myles Garrett finally gets to progressively drag him through the ground and body slam him in his head.
Well, I want to ask you that. Do you think there'd be some? Because remember when we were talking about if Deshaun Watson's going to be suspended for a whole year, like some reports suggest the NFL might do. Would the other, as the Browns, would you say, well, we got a quarterback who already knows our system under contract. Well, might as well just play him for the year, and it's a marriage of convenience. And a lot of people, like Keyshawn, say he can't go back in the room. You can't have him back in the room. It can't happen. The damage has been done. So, all right, if that's the case, Bart, if you're playing Baker Mayfield week one, and, I mean, are you as a team just, your intention is not only just to win the game and obviously, execute the game plan, but let's send a message to this dude, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like embarrassing him. On defense, really? The guys that didn't like him, the guys that sided with Odell Beckham, I'm going to throw his head through the ground. Yeah, I don't really care. Yeah. I never really liked you anyway. You look arrogant, you know, whatever. You like, it's players in there that probably didn't like him, probably thought he was arrogant. There's going to be people that love him. But, you know, when you're on defense, you're going to take that collective energy. You're going to take that collective energy and you're going to say, you know what? You got to go night-night. You know what I'm saying? And you're going to, like, I used to always love against going against my guys because, like, guys I used to play with because they used to talk all this crap when you couldn't hit them in practice and stuff like that. And then they figure out what it's really about. Like, oh, okay, that dude is okay. Yeah. That's grown man business right there. Because everybody look cute when you're in training camp and the guy can't actually finish the deal. You got your little red jersey on or your pink jersey looking all cute and stuff. You're in there brave in the pocket. You talking stuff. Like, all right, yeah. How about when I take you to the ground?
You are all about that stuff, too. You sound just like a defensive player.
You got to beat your friends up worse.
Quarterback.
You got to beat your friends up more than you beat up your people that you don't even like.
So was this a good move for the Carolina Panthers? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It is, like I said, it is something that we felt was inevitable. There's two teams that you could look at and say they could use a quarterback. Seattle was the other one. And in fact, you remember Baker in that podcast he did a while back with the dog laying on his back. On the couch. You remember that?
Yeah,
he said he felt like Seattle was the place that he was going to end up.
What did you Seattle say yesterday? Yeah, never in our wildest dreams. Never have we discussed Baker. Never did we ever want Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. We're good right here with Drew Lock. And that's what spurned action. The fact that they're like, you know, damn.
Right.
He only has one place to go. We're going to have to eat some of his salary. We're going to have to make it an offer that Carolina Panthers can't refuse. $8 million for a guy that can maybe save Matt Rule's job if he has to come in while we continue to try and develop Matt Corral. You know, now, you know, we're not putting all our eggs in the basket of Sam Darnold. Now we have a true competition. If one struggles, you know, the backup quarterback is always the most popular person in any organization.
Think about this, though. They trade up to get Matt Corral. So they have a rookie from Ole Miss who has some upside. People think that he's got potential down
the road. Yeah, he got injured in his
but there was a lot of excitement about him last year going into the season. So you have him. You have Sam Darnold, who was taken third in that 2018 draft. He's in the same place as Baker as in his final year. And has not lived up. But unlike Baker, at least Baker had himself a good year and got to the playoffs. There is something you could build off of. With Darnold, it's been downhill since his rookie season.
Well, Baker went to a team that had the best roster, one of the best, most talented rosters in all of football. Had a great offensive line, two great running backs, two great tight ends, two great tailbacks. And he had us believing that Odell Beckham was barbecue chicken. And Odell Beckham was well on his way becoming Super Bowl MVP if he hadn't blown out his ACL in the middle of that game. And he got Jarvis Landry up out of there, too. So, he's a receiver killer.
So you think, is that a talent thing or a personality thing or both?
Both.
Because Robbie Anderson, he made it clear he didn't want anything to do with him. So we'll see how that goes. Carolina doesn't have a ton of talent, but they do have him. This is going to be so fascinating, especially in a week one. 888-SAY-ESPN. We've got some callers here on this, including Cameron in Indiana, who Bart says that the Browns are going to regret this. Cameron.
Hey, the Browns are always going to brown. I think Mayfield's going to bounce back and have a career with Carolina and figure things out.
So you believe that he's going to have a career with Carolina and they just traded a third-round draft pick to move up to get a young quarterback. You think they're banking on Baker Mayfield being their future, or is he just right now? So I think Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold is going to be in the same boat. They're going to be pending free agents trying to look for a place to go and sit behind somebody like Mitchell Trubisky and hope that they get an opportunity to play. There's no way that they see either one of these quarterbacks as their future.
What makes you say that, though, Cameron? Well, why do you think it's a mistake by the Browns?
I mean, he led them to the playoffs, and they were...
Stop. He's a far superior quarterback.
So you said he led them to the playoffs. Did that super uber-talented team go be in spite of him and what his limitations were in being able to open up Stefanski's offense?
I mean, I think it was all Baker.
Think it wasn't Kareem Hunt?
Prove me wrong, but
you don't think it was Kareem Hunt? You don't think it was
Cameron
Nick Chubb?
Yeah, Cameron's given his opinion on it, and he just looks at it as the Browns are going to brown. He clearly is a Baker fan.
No, John, maybe for the first time, the Browns didn't brown. They got somebody that other people were hoping to get. He got, you know, the New Orleans Saints moved their entire draft around to try and get Deshaun Watson. You know, you had Miami for years trying to do it. You had Carolina willing to give up anything, and the Browns didn't brown. For the first time, they got the prime queen.
Let's see, obviously, the result of everything that's going on around Deshaun Watson. John is in South Carolina. Your thoughts on this trade?
Hey, it's Josh from South Carolina.
Oh, Josh. How you doing, Josh?
It's a great deal for $5 million getting Baker Mayfield, who started just with the situation that Carolina has in that quarterback room already. He could play good or he could play bad, and at the end of the year, it's only $5 million.
Yeah, I mean, that's to your point, it's low risk, high reward, right? Yeah, if he can come back and play with a chip on his shoulder, he can play a chance, you know, they only gave up a fifth-round draft pick, which they probably get a bunch of compensatory picks anyway that they can trade or replace that pick anyway from guys they lost in free agency. But this is a play for Matt Rhule to save his job, because if they don't go to the postseason, they don't go to playoffs with all the transactions that this man has made, from trading, you know, their star tight end to Jacksonville for a cornerback that's not even on the roster anymore. You know what I mean? They made a trade for Stephon Gilmore. That didn't work out. Gave Cam Newton $10 million for half of a season, which really prorates to $20 million for a guy that you could have got for nothing. And they gave him a six-year deal, and they haven't done anything. They haven't won anything. You heard David Tapper. He really is upset and saying that, hey, you know, things are going to change. This is the richest owner in all of football, and he's not going to sit around and wait and be patient when there's no results that's coming from Matt Rhule after he gave him a lucrative six-year contract.
All right. Let's continue this conversation and get the perspective from Cleveland as Jake Trotter, ESPN Browns reporter, joins us right now. And Baker Mayfield traded for a conditional pick. It could be a fourth. It could be a fifth to the Carolina Panthers. So, Jake, I guess the first and foremost, just a reaction to the trade and what the Browns get in return.
Yeah, I mean, this was the team that was most interested in Baker from the beginning, the Carolina Panthers. This was the team that they had been negotiating with, you know, for the last couple of months, really going back to the draft. And this was the team I had, you know, barring an injury to a quarterback elsewhere, that I expected Baker to be traded to. It was just a question of when it was going to happen. And so it's going to be interesting to see in Carolina if Baker can beat out Sam Darnold and be the week one starter. Oh, by the way, the Panthers open up with the Cleveland Browns. That should be a fun week one game. So, yeah, I mean, this is what the Browns have been trying to do for a while. They never had any plans of Baker being the starter if Deshaun Watson gets suspended. It's always going to be Jacoby Brissett. Their preference was to get a deal done and to try to eat the least amount of salary possible and get at least some draft pick, both of which they were finally able to do.
Yeah, was the determining factor the reason, the fact that, you know, Cleveland was willing to eat $10 million of Baker's salary? And how much did the news yesterday of Seattle saying that they were never interested, you know, really, you know, cause Cleveland to lose leverage, because then pretty much Carolina was bidding against themselves?
Yeah, I don't know that the Seattle thing, that rumor report had anything to do with this. You know, maybe it did. I haven't heard that. I actually think that the part that greased the wheels for the trade, you know, I had been told that the Browns were never going to come up above $11 million of Baker's $19 million guarantee. And that's exactly what happened. They did not come over 11. What happened was, is Baker is eating a portion of the salary. And I think that's what actually greased the wheels to make the trade happen. I think Baker's eating, I can't do math on the fly, but like $3 or $4 million. Wow. You know, Carolina's taking on, you know, roughly four. That's what finally facilitated the trade. I think that was the dynamic that changed.
Gotcha.
And
so
if you're Baker Mayfield, you're looking. Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask you some insider information. Does he remain the face of Progressive?
Yeah, I don't. I think. Well, you know, Progressive, you know, their baseball stadium in Cleveland is Progressive Field. Progressive is a Cleveland company. I would assume that partnership is probably going to end.
Yeah, I
got to hand
understand
the
keys that. In. But it does show you, though, Baker's motivation to get out of Cleveland giving back money, because a lot of it's very hard to get a player to give back money. We all know that. So for him, it was about, I got to get somewhere, I got to get started. We know there's only a couple of weeks before training camps begin, so he heads into this thing now hoping to win the job over Sam Darnold or even, you know, Matt Corral or PJ
Walker,
and I was about to say Tucker, and so we'll see what it can emerge. But for the so from the Browns' perspective, they move on. From the Panthers' perspective, it's not going to cost a lot. So, wow, this is really interesting. Now, the fact that the Browns do make this move, and I think you have said this before, there really was no way to do the marriage of convenience. Hey, we might lose Deshaun for a whole year. We might want to keep him around just in case. So, does this have any reflection on what the Browns are anticipating and what could happen with Deshaun Watson?
No, I think the two issues are separate. And the Browns, from the beginning, have planned on Jacoby Brissett to be their starting quarterback in the event that Watson is suspended. That was their posture from the beginning, from the moment they signed Brissett, and really from the moment they traded for Watson to replace Mayfield. He was never going to play another down for the Browns. They didn't want him to play another down for them. Like I think as Baker put it last week at his youth camp in Norman, Oklahoma, like both sides have moved on. And, yeah. And I think that was the way that was reflected accurately. And so I don't think that them trading Baker now necessarily means anything about what they're expecting out of a Watson suspension, because again, Jacoby Brissett was going to be the guy no matter what.
You know, now that it's kind of finality, what is Baker Mayfield's legacy, you know, in Cleveland for the Cleveland Browns? How is he viewed?
Yeah, I mean, it. You know, this whole quarterback change has really divided the fan base in more than one way. You know, in one way, there are a lot of fans that remember that Thursday night, you know, Bud Light Fridge game against the Jets when Baker Mayfield made his debut and the win over the Steelers in the playoffs in 2020. There's definitely a segment of the fan base that was ready to move on after the way that Baker played last year, and just kind of some of the drama with Odell and, you know, different fights he would pick. So I do think the farther we get away from this, and I don't know how things are going to go with Watson here, we'll see. But, I mean, I think you do have to, any Browns fan has to appreciate, you know, where this franchise was when Baker arrived and where it was when he left, which was in much better shape, no matter how disappointing last season was. And to be the first Browns quarterback in 26 years to win a playoff game, I mean, that's not nothing either. So, you know, I think it was potential unfulfilled for sure. You know, the expectation for Baker after that rookie season was he was going to be their starter for the next 10 to 15 years. But it wasn't all bad as well. There were some good moments. And I think Cleveland, you know, they took another step as a franchise while Baker was the starting quarterback.
Oddly enough, you took us right to Odell Beckham, who's a free agent right now. We believe that, hey, he was done, but then he was well on his way to becoming the MVP of the Super Bowl before he hurt his knee. Is the door still open, or is the door reopened for Odell Beckham to come back and join forces with Deshaun Watson?
Well, I will say this. I've been told that the Browns are not looking to add any free agent receiver. That was before the Baker trade, and I think that's still the case after the Baker trade. You know, the other obstacle with Odell, when is he going to be ready?
Yeah.
You know, is he going to be ready to play by, you know, middle of the season, late season? You know, he's definitely not going to be ready to go, it sounds like, for the beginning of the season. So I think that's another impediment there. I would be surprised if they signed Odell just based on everything that happened while he was here. But, again, this is the NFL. It's the Browns. Never say never about anything, right?
Well, I'll tell you what, Jake, you did a great job covering this whole thing. I know it's been kind of a saga, but it is finally over, at least that part of it. I'm sure now the next thing we're waiting for is what the NFL decides to do with Deshaun Watson. His training camps are only just a couple of weeks away. Thanks so much for that last minute jumping on with us. We appreciate it, as always.
Okay, thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, Jake Trotter again covers the Browns, who have been very busy and very much in the headlines over the last couple of months, and let alone maybe even years. He covers, obviously, the Browns for us at ESPN. All right, coming up, we do have the two-a-days that we have to get to. We did the Giants earlier. We'll stay in New York, and we'll get you set for the 2022 New York Jets.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bart and Han.
On about 2 weeks, we start getting the players to come in as training camps will open around the NFL. And we're doing our two-a-days each day. Today we got the New York teams. We did the New York Giants earlier in the show. And we will now discuss the New York Jets. It's Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. And we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, RVs, for your protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. And Progressive .com. To talk Jets, Bart, let's bring in one of their draft picks from this draft that was a fantastic one. You heard some of the picks already made there. And this is one that was, everybody's telling me this is a sneaky good pick.
Ooh,
one that nobody's,
sale.
Yeah, maybe, that nobody's talking about a lot right now, but you might be talking about in some time to come. And that is Jeremy Ruckert. He is a tight end from Ohio State. He is also one of these great stories because it's the hometown kid picked by his hometown team. And it's like a dream come true. And Jeremy joins us right now. Jeremy, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Thank you guys for having me.
All right. So, Jeremy, for those who don't know, Jeremy Ruckert, the tight end from Ohio State, he's originally from Lindenhurst, Long Island, and his family, huge Jets fans. Those who are in New York might have known this story after the draft. He had gone to Hofstra to watch practices. He probably, this is what I want to start with, Jeremy. You probably were a kid rooting for Bart Scott with those Jets teams that were going to conference championship games.
You're definitely right. I remember, I'll never forget the moment after the playoff game when he had his famous line, "Can't wait." We used that in our over as Jets fans celebrating that season, and watched him. Definitely watched a bunch of great Jets, and being able to walk the same halls as them right now is definitely a blessing.
Well, Jeremy, now it's your time to bring joy or pain to your family, so you have that type of pressure. But as you look, right, a lot of people, I think, really don't understand your capabilities and your talent level, because at the University of Ohio State, or the U, I mean, the Ohio State, I guess,
yeah,
you got to say
the
U.
I'm
sorry, no, I'm saying, I mean, the Ohio State. Well, you know, I'm from Detroit, so, you know, it hurts me a little bit sometimes, Eddie George and all those guys, David Balson going against my guy, Charles Woodson. But, you know, when you think about that, you were asked to do a lot of blocking, and maybe that overshadowed your ability to be a pass-receiving tight end. How excited are you to have the opportunity, one, to play for your home team, but two, to be able to display what you're capable of, you know, because you were doing what was best for the team, not specifically what was best for the individual?
Yeah, I think that's kind of just how I play. That's how I was brought up as an individual, not even football player. Just do whatever is asked of me, be able to give 100% of everything I got for whatever job I need to do, and being able to be in this situation I'm in right now with some older tight ends in the room and a great tight end coach. I can't think of a better situation to walk into as your first year in this league, and just try and be a sponge and soak up everything I can, and just continue the staple that I have of just trying to give everything I got and do whatever the team needs me to do.
The Jets have a couple of vets that they brought into that tight end room with Tyler Conklin and CJ Uzuma. Like, you've got a couple of guys you can certainly learn from while you're going through this process. But another guy that's part of the receiving core is someone you know pretty well because he's also from the Ohio State University, and that's Garrett Wilson.
There you go.
Give us a scouting report on him and how things have looked so far as you guys have had some time at camp.
Yeah, I mean, Garrett's special. Anybody that's ever got the chance to be around him knows that. I remember his first day on campus in the winter. You could just tell he was a different cat. And you know, being able to buy into everything that he's done throughout his 3 years there and Coach Day's offense, I think he's really showcased his talent, but also his competitiveness, and I think that he's bringing that along now. going against those guys in OTAs and everything like that. So I think he's doing well. He'll tell you that he's going to keep working, keep trying to become better every day, and because he wants to be the best. You can tell anytime you're around him, he wants to be the best. He's super competitive, and he has the talent to do that. So
where's your mindset now? Because you're about to enter your first, professional training camp, and a lot of times were spent in shorts and soft shells, but now it's about to get real. Yeah. What's the anxiety level like, and how excited are you just to get the conditioning test out the way?
I'm excited. I think the biggest thing for me getting out of this first year is just trying to gain the trust of my teammates, trust of the coaching staff and the organization. I think that's the biggest thing, because if they don't trust you, they're not going to put you in a position to be successful. So I think that just kind of doing the same things that got me here and just trying to enhance those things. I'm here for a reason. Everybody's there for a reason. And just not make the moment too big and just try to trust what got you there and try and work to gain that trust of the people that's around you.
Now, this is a question before the question, right? How did you spend your 6 weeks away from the OTAs? Did you go on vacation the first 2 weeks and you're trying to catch up and make sure you get ready for training camp? Or have you been working the whole time and you're starting to gear down now?
I've been at the facility this whole time. I've been competing every day since we broke OTAs. I've been hopping over the GW and Throgs Neck, getting there and back, paying all those expensive tolls. But I'm so close. I figured I just want to take advantage of it. Being able to use the facility, use the staff there, and just wake up early, beat the traffic, and head home right about now.
That is very smart.
I wanted to ask this because Jeremy Rucker, we're talking about right now, he's the third round pick the Jets took, the tight end from Ohio State University, and it is one of these picks that you just love the story. As I explained at the very top, a hometown kid, grew up a Jets fan, his family Jets fan, his dad actually did the JETS while he signed his contract, like all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just such a cool story. Now, Jeremy, you don't know me, I'm a Long Island guy, born and raised, and I know what you're talking about when you're talking about traffic and bridges. Are you telling me that you're still staying in your parents' house? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, right. I was staying in the place where they put all the rookies up for the first 6 weeks over there, and once we broke OTAs, they kind of stopped covering it, and I figured save some extra money. I live so close. So I've been kicking it at the house, and nice. Just waking up every morning, like you said, just trying to beat the traffic, and. We got some early days right now, just quick work, trying to get in and get out, do what I got to do.
And, yeah, a lot of your life is left on those roads, man. A lot of your life is spent in that car, man.
But it's great when you're the golden child, because now mama going to make sure that you get the meal that you need, even over papa. Yeah. Like, no, we training. Dad, like, well, the hell, I'm not training. I want no healthy ass. I want no healthy ass food. Like, I want skin on my chicken, woman. Like, what the hell are we talking about? But this is the funny thing
I got to be careful about when I was in school, they didn't have the pizza and the bagels and stuff. Now that I'm this close to home, I got to make sure I pace myself.
Listen, this is the funny thing. This is why I asked you, did you stay? Because, listen, it's going to be some of your friends, some of your draft mates or the class you come in with, and it's going to be some guys that they just can't help themselves. They always go on vacation the first 2 weeks after OTAs. People don't realize that when you go to OTAs, you actually get out of conditioning shape because you're not running and you're watching a lot because everybody got to get reps. So then when you run a conditioning test, you don't realize that it's going to be hot as hell and that turf is going to be on fire. I've more than once, seen guys carried off the field during a conditioning test in a wheelbarrow. And it's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. And those are the type of stories that you live for. Like, remember old boy got a full body cramp and he had to get carried off with a wheelbarrow? You never live that stuff down. So great job for not putting yourself in that position to be carried off in a wheelbarrow.
That sounds like something you want to avoid right there.
Yeah. Jeremy, before we let you go, I want to tell you something. When we talked with Joe Douglas after the draft, I had heard something a fellow Long Islander reached out to me about you and said, hey, there's some things you don't know about him. He played soccer, and he was really good at it. In fact, he can kick field goals and punts. And I told Joe Douglas, I said, hey, listen, you might have if you need – because the Jets last year, they had some injuries, and they had to find punters and kickers and all this stuff.
Yeah,
if needed, are you available for special teams?
So I haven't done any of that since high school, but I mean, whatever, like I said before, whatever they need me to do, they need me to They need me to go drop off the mail at the post office. I'll do that. So whatever they need me to do, I'm going to do. Like, I'll go kick some field goals. I still got it in me. I can go punt the ball, but I haven't done any of that. I've been focused on just trying to become a better tight end. But, yeah, that was a part of my past and in high school, just kicker and punter and all that. But not since then.
Hey, the more you can do, the more cheese on the taco. Don't even worry about it, baby. Go ahead and polish that off.
You should talk it up. I'm just saying.
Dominican Sue was the backup kicker for the Lions.
Real talk. Didn't he kick one in like a preseason game or something like that?
Trust Bart. He knows about getting more cheese on your taco.
I'll be over there, too. I just saw Nazardine over there trying to get his body right, you know what I'm saying, make the conversion from safety to linebacker. So I'll be over there. I'll be hollering at you in a minute, you know what I'm saying?
All right. Long Island's own, Jeremy Ruckert. It's a great story with the Jets. Thanks so much for the time. All the best.
Thanks.
I'll tell you what, that ride, if he's going from Lindenhurst to Florham Park.
But that's cheaper than standing at the Ave. The Ave charge you $6,000 a month.
Oh, no. He's right doing what he's doing as a rookie. Yeah. But I'm just saying, that's hours, minutes, days off your life that you never get back. I hope he's got it. Hey, maybe he's tuned into our show. You never know.
I know all about it.
Yeah, Renee certainly knows the ride.
Keep
like
it down.
That.
Keep it down. Jeremy has to sleep. Woman, this is my house. Nah, but you're the golden child, baby. Ooh, it ain't nothing like living in mama's house.
It is so true. All right, so we heard from a Jets player on the upcoming 2022 season. Interesting what he said about Garrett Wilson, by the way. But what will Bart say about what he sees coming up for gangrene? We'll discuss that in our Tua Days next. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
Hi, right, it's Bart and Han, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. This kid Ruckert's a good story, though, Bart.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a great story. I'm glad we got to talk to him. That drive is, I mean, there's people right now in New York on that drive, whether they're on the George Washington Bridge. I guess he goes that way, huh? He goes up. Does he do? Oh, my God. Think about it. From Lindenhurst, which I don't know if you know where Lindenhurst is, but it's on the south shore of Long Island, and it's about halfway out. Yeah, it's literally like halfway out. It's as far out as I am. I'm north. Lindenhurst is south of me, right?
Mm.
So it's, you know how long it takes me.
Bro, you know I've been to your house.
2 hours just to go from Seaport home.
Sound like I ain't been to your crib. We're going up that damn hill. Lester, I don't know how the hell you make it up that hill when it's snow. Hope you got chains in your tires, man. I would slide right here. I would hate to have a stick shift. I'd right into the street.
It used to take me 2.5 hours from Central Islip to Bristol.
Yeah. And you can relate to Lindenhurst. That's a similar, same.
It's a disgusting drive.
He's going to Florham Park, which from the city.
Reverse commute.
No, it isn't. There's no such thing anymore.
I'm assuming he's getting up super early, like 6, because the workouts start early. He's getting it over with, so he's not dealing with the traffic. Because Tony Richardson used to come from Long Island City to the practice every day, which Long Island City is nowhere. But he said it was a reverse commute. He actually got there super fast.
No, I don't think that exists. I used to think that same way. I don't think it exists anymore. That's just the way it is. But still, I give him credit. He does that. But you know, what he said about Garrett Wilson was like he perked up talking about him. Now, they were teammates at Ohio State. But when you look at the Jets, I mean, he is going to be one of the many new faces in the offense, right? That you look at and think, what can he be? What do you think he can be?
We talk about the many, right? He's going to also benefit because, listen, Davis, you know, Davis has to know that, hey, man, like, these dudes are coming for my spot, because Elijah Moore was looked at as a number one last year, how great he looked at the end of the season. And then now you bring in a guy, first-round draft pick. He has to know that he has to step up and he has to be the number one receiver that they brought him in here to be, but he doesn't have to.
Talking about Corey Davis.
Yeah, Corey Davis. And then you look at the fact that they went out and surrounded him with veteran tight ends as well. And they like, listen, that tight end room is deep. Like, you went from not having any tight end productivity to having a lot of productivity. When you think about Zuma, you think about also, you know, they really love that your Burrow kid, man, that last year, that kind of Kenny Yeboah, who really showed up last year. So you think about that, Wilson. It's going to be exciting, man. Can we talk about him some more?
Yeah, we're going to do Tua Days on the Jets, what we expect to see out of this season, and it's coming up.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. is the number, and we'll get to your calls, of course, as we get through the NFL training camps that are opening up in just about 2 weeks. We are doing two-a-days each day on teams in the NFL. Yesterday, we did the Jaguars. We did the Lions. Today, we're in New York. We've got the Giants. And right now, it is time to talk to Bart Scott about his expectations for the New York Jets.
Listen, the expectations are sky high. This is like where we have to see improvement when you think about what Joe Douglas has done. You talk about what he's done in the draft, but also it seems to be like they're going to get a player back that, you know, actually acts as a first-round draft pick or a key offseason acquisition. When you think about Carl Lawson being able to come back, you know, the Jets did a tremendous job, you know, in really trying to get some type of NASCAR package. When you think about all that they've done, they got Benny Curry coming back from, you know, illness last season. That's a pass rusher as well. You think about Jacob Martin, you know, he's going to be a pass rusher as well. Now with the acquisition of Jermaine Johnson, this allows them to move a guy like Franklin Myers. So they paid a lot of money inside. So now you have guys that can rush the passer inside, outside. You got Quentin Williams. Also, you have Sheldon Rankins. And then they went out and they tried to make sure that they can kick the tires on an old familiar friend when you think about Solomon Thomas, you know, out there. So now you look at the depth that you have at the defensive line. I think that's the most important part, because last year they couldn't get to the passer and they couldn't really, you know, cause guys to get turnovers. So now you go out, you get Sauce Gardner, you go out to get DJ Reader. What does that mean for Bryce Hall? Bryce Hall is a baller, and I love Michael Carter the second at the slot. So now you have competition, you have depth. You go out and you get a Super Bowl champion in Jordan Whitehead, right? And you make sure that you re-sign some of the guys that was injured last year when you think about, you know, the safety position. And then you have CJ Mosley, old faithful, going on right there. So I really like what they can be able to do from a defensive standpoint. You know that that's Robert Saleh's, you know, forte. I love what they've done. But you can't deny that this team is much better. When you think about Mark Sanchez, when you think about Sam Darnold, they didn't have the offensive support that they needed, right? And Joe Douglas broke a promise to Sam Darnold when he told his mom that he was going to protect him. Well, I tell you what, he is damn sure going to protect Zach Wilson when you think about what he was able to do going out against Langston Thomason, who's one of the best guards in all of football, pro bowler. You know, he's a pro bowler. He's going to be able to take it to the next level and also understand that system. Now, Mekhi Becton is the other player that I'm talking about that didn't play last year, that now you can pretty much see it's like getting two new players back. He's the right tackle. You got, you know, Vera Tucker already at left guard. So you look at that as a Pro Bowl candidate. If you look at the offensive line for the Jets, very short order. They're going to become a top 10, you know, offensive line once they start getting some chemistry. Becton is a Pro Bowler, could be a perimeter Pro Bowler, maybe one of the best in the business. You think of Thompson's already that. Vera Tucker's already that. And Noah Fant had a tremendous season last year. So now you add all that. That's protection.
George Fant.
George Fant. And then you look at Breece Hall. Man, already they're talking about him being able to be the number one back. And that's saying a lot, because Michael Carter was a beast last year.
Really?
So now
good,
you
right.
Had, right. So now you have a 1-2 punch with Breece Hall, who people believe was the best back in all of football, and potentially could be a sneaky pick for rookie of the year. And then we go out and we talk about Garrett Wilson. We talk about Elijah Moore in his second year. We talk about Corey Davis. And now you talk about Azuma, who was the heart and soul, I believe, of that Bengals team that went all the way to the Super Bowl. They have weapons. They have depth. They can sustain injuries. Braxton Berrios was re-signed. He's a gadget guy that can help them in special teams and also be the guy that can do it all. But you know, much like I have Dom Smith, you know I have Denzel Mims, who I've seen. They say he's healthy. And they say he's having a tremendous offseason. So can he add something, some depth and some playmaking ability? The Jets, the stock is rising. Now they have to come together and they have to put it all together, but the ingredients are there. Let's see if Salah can cook them up.
All right, so as we talked about the Giants, and you feel like they could be the third best team in the NFC East in comparison to two kind of established, the Dallas Cowboys, although they've lost some pieces, and the Eagles, who really have, they built a nice roster, and it's going to be a lot of what Jalen Hurts can be. Look at the Jets in the AFC East. You've got the Bills, who are one of the best teams in the AFC. Yep. Miami has retooled, no doubt about it. They have Tua as their quarterback. And then there's Mac Jones, who led the Patriots to the playoffs last year. What do you foresee the Jets being? What is their win total in your mind?
Well, all of what they've given Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson has everything he needs to be the number two quarterback in this division. And if he becomes the number two quarterback within this division, then the Jets are not going to be the third best team in the division. They're going to be the second best, because if he can outplay Tua, he has the same weapons on the outside. When you think about Elijah Moore, I know they're young, and Garrett Wilson, but you know the addition of Breece Hall, and I think they have the second best offensive line in the division already because the Patriots lost Shaq Mason. I believe that the Jets is the third best team in the division, and they could push for second. I think the Patriots fall to the basement in the cellar of the division.
Whoa, that take?
Beefy.
There's no doubt about that. A lot riding on Zach Wilson's arm. No doubt about that. All right, we'll continue with our Tua days the rest of this week. Bart, see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.